First of all, I would just like to state that there's no financial interest and no relationships to disclose from my presentation. Today, I'm going to review the purpose and provide an overview of bus triage planning, look at timelines we followed, look at those accomplishments and lessons learned even from this recent hurricane. Gustav, as you know, was started out as a tropical cyclone, the fourth costliest and the third hurricane and the second major hurricane of this 2008 hurricane season. It started out on August 25th in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, and it moved rapidly across the Caribbean. And on August the 31st, the National Hurricane Center predicted that Gustav would remain as a Category 3. Now, the devastating news for Louisiana was that because of the bigness of the storm, our entire coastline was at stake, the entire coastline of Louisiana. So how do you plan for an entire coastline? And as you see the path of it coming up, it came right up the gut of the state. September 4th, while we were busy with Gustav, I'm just setting the stage, Hurricane Ike was out there. And Ike was building strength. Same thing, what's going to happen with Ike? Which way is Ike going? What are we going to do? And it was a serious reminder of what happened during Hurricanes Katrina and Rita, but much closer and much more devastating because we're still in serious recovery from Hurricanes Katrina and Ike. And Ike finally made its landfall in Texas as a Cat 2. And as you see it coming up the Gulf, and if you look on the eastern side, still our coastline was impacted. So what did we do? How do we go about planning for two storms in the Gulf simultaneously? Well, we activated our Public Health Command Center on August 25th. We looked at all of our plans, what systems we had put in place. We looked at all of those lessons learned from Katrina and Rita. We looked at all of the equipment we had pre-staged throughout the state. And we activated our system. And one of the first things we activated was our bus triage. As you know, we evacuated prior to Gustav, Katrina was the largest evacuation in history. But needless to say, Gustav has changed that somewhat. So as we looked at those lessons from Katrina, we ended up with right at 100,000 people we had evacuated on buses that came through our temporary medical operations staging area. And these are the folks that were pulled out of water, that were on I-10 and Causeway, that were at the Superdome, that were at the airport. These are the folks that were evacuated to LSU and Nicholls State, two of our universities that we had previously identified to use as temporary medical operations. So as we looked at that and how the buses rolled in, we knew we had to develop some kind of system. How can we better make that operational? So on Friday, the 29th, we activated our bus triage system out at LSU. Now, LSU had a major football game that weekend, so that was a nightmare for us. How are we going to run a bus triage system when you're expecting a couple of 100,000 people in the city and on that campus? We still move forward. The chancellor said they would not cancel the game. So we said, we're going to make it work. We got all of our go kits. We pushed forward. We looked at our signage. What are we going to do? So we had everything set up. Our command center was ready. And we still were missing some supplies, but we received our first ambulance around 2 o'clock that day. As we look at some other factors, now bus triage is a system that's outside. And I'm going to show you that in a second. You roll folks in, roll them out. But right in the midst of all of that, we had a major tornado warning. So we had to demobilize the system and break it all down and go into the LSU field house because of the possible tornadoes. Everything that we do now is around the incident command structure and system. One of the major lessons learned during Katrina was that even though folks knew IC, they could not operationalize it. So what does that mean? Well, if you have an incident commander, you're not going to follow your supervisor that you have on a day-to-day basis and go to that person. And the incident commander could be someone that is at a much lower level than your supervisor. So it could be a subordinate giving orders to their supervisor during an event. So we've had to change mindsets, change the overarching culture of the agency. So our bus triage system is set up around our incident command. We have a safety officer, we have our planning section chief, our ops chief, logistics, and even our finance chief, because lots of things come into play. And as we look at our ops section, we had a triage supervisor. So we look at our different tasks and team leaders. And our triage teams consisted of EMTs. We had public health nurses that were part of the triage team. So we had teams of three. So they were there. We had behavioral health strike teams. It's so important. Behavioral health and disaster planning and response is critical, not just for the evacuees, but for the staff, as you heard, who have lost everything, who's been through trauma themselves, and they're still working and responding, how do we make sure that we're meeting their psychosocial needs? We had a transportation group supervisor, a volunteer group supervisor. How do we track patients? And you all heard during Katrina, Reed, a big issue, not knowing where people were going. How could we communicate to their families where they went? So that was a big ticket item for us. And managing our volunteers, also big, big ticket item. So this was set up based on all of those many lessons learned and how do we go forward with making it happen. As you see, we use the LSU Parker Coliseum. And this is where the 4-H Club is, livestock, major area. And it's away from the football stadium and that big area on campus. Plus, it's closer to the interstate and a couple other major highways. So the plan was for 5 buses to enter at a time. And they would come in and go into this area. And when those buses arrived, we would put strike teams on each of those buses. We would not allow anyone off the bus. The EMTs, nurses would go on and do real time. Are they breathing? You know, their pulse rates. We're not talking about a complete physical assessment. It's eyeballing them, doing some critical checks, and determining whether or not they can move forward. And I failed to say early on is that during Katrina and Rita, we had to evacuate folks twice. They were evacuated for Katrina, and then when Rita came along a couple of weeks later, then we had to move them further up north. So our plans now are to go straight up. the state. But in order for that to happen, we have to make sure people are able to travel for that length of time. We don't want them decompensating on the road. So we do have teams to check them to make sure that they are able to make that travel further up the road. So once they've been checked out, if they check out okay, then the bus can continue on its path to North Louisiana. If they are not in a stage where they are able to travel, then we'll pull them off the bus, and they are sent to what we call our medical special needs shelter. We have a medical special needs shelter that is at Louisiana State University that handles those special needs. We had, that's why we had that transportation team. We had EMT units ready to transport them over to the hospital or to the medical special needs shelter. So as we prepared for pre-landfall, we had everything set up, the command center set up. We were prepared to run our operations for 72 hours prior. So everything was very much coordinated with the coastal area, with New Orleans, with Thibodeau in the Region 3 area, so that when they started contraflow and everyone started moving out of the impacted area, we were ready to receive them and move them on further north if needed be. So what we were doing was evaluating pre-identified at-risk clients that were on paratransits. They may have been in ambulances. They may have been in their own privately owned vehicles. So how could we make sure that they were okay for a journey that may take 10 hours to get to the northern part of the state? The bus triage system was set up outside of that zone. As we looked at the coastal line and where things would be happening, and how can we quickly identify these at-risk folks? Because in New Orleans, they have 13 different pickup sites. So they pick them up and they take them to the UTP, that's Union train station. And at the Union train station, then they're put on buses, and we use the buses that's been identified in our federal plan with HHS. And they have been identified, placed on those buses. They have received initial triage whether or not they can be on those buses or will they go on the train. We have used Amtrak to evacuate folks out. So as we determine their condition and that recommendation is made, then they're on to their journey. And I know, forgive me for all of these abbreviations, but CTNS is Critical Transportation Needs Shelter. That is a shelter that shelters that we've identified for individuals that don't have transportation. So these are the folks that had to be picked up on the school buses, brought to the train station and put on the trailways and brought to the triage areas. And we have shelters, pre-identified mega shelters that hold anywhere from 5,000 to 10,000 individuals in the northern part of the state. So these folks are placed on the bus and transported up to the critical transportation needs shelters, or they may be referred to a local medical special needs shelter. So during Gustav, 32 buses came through. We had approximately 47 vans. The four is the private owned vehicles, with the total number right at 1,100 individuals that were triaged at the bus triage site. And out of that, we referred 35 of those folks to medical special needs. They could not continue on the journey. to the northern part of the state, and 6 of the individuals had to go to the hospital. So as we look at our operations, this was really the first time we tested the plan since Katrina and Rita. How well did it go? Well, much better than we thought. We did drill it back in June, and this really did help relieve a lot of folks' anxiety and stresses. The staff that was assigned, according to the plan originally, did not work out very well. They were assigned to other services, so we had to pull volunteers to do what our Department of Social Services was supposed to do. We had our volunteer command center on site to accommodate our large number of volunteers, and this is a new process. We have real-time registration now. It's our system is called LAVA. LAVA is Louisiana Volunteers in Action, LAVA. And it has received national recognition because we can register you, we could credential you. We are in sync with the state boards of nursing, with the state boards of medical examiners, social work. There are about 7 boards right now that we interface with, so we can get real-time information if you're in good standing with your boards. So we're able to register volunteers and get them ready to be deployed, whether it's at that site or some other site. As we continue to look at our accomplishments, because of the setup and the flow and working very well with LSU, that happened. LSU has set up their own command center now. They're able to have their incident commander, the transportation between sites worked, our volunteers worked, and being able to get people moving, because we were really concerned about pulling individuals off buses, trying to identify their personal belongings, and keeping things from bottlenecking. Because, you know, you may end up with 10 buses, 17 buses, 20 buses at one time. So how do you make it move and not have the backlog? And this just shows an example of a bus coming in and a team ready to roll. And part of our plans, you can't see it, but that's National Guard there. The little lady in the front is a behavioral health specialist, which is very important because you may have families on that bus, and the plan right now entails only one caregiver with the evacuee. So here again, if we separate families, that is going to be very, very problematic. And it was problematic during Katrina. It continues to be problematic. But how do we have our behavioral health staff to work through the issues and to say what is and what needs to happen? Because to accommodate, and sometimes families may be 15 or 20 deep, and we just cannot accommodate regular folks in our medical special needs shelters. And this is another picture with the teams going on the bus and doing the triage. And having instructions being given. The guy in the blue shirt to the left is Dr. Chris Trevino, who is our medical director for our EMS services and has done a tremendous job. He also heads up our trauma system for the state. And just additional pictures with patients being taken off the bus and being transported over to the medical special needs shelter. So as we look at lessons learned from that process, we still didn't have the real infrastructure we thought we needed to have. We had go kits, we had some things, but making sure that we had wireless internet, enough computers, having enough food. The system worked out with LSU so that was seamless. That was very much problematic for us early on. And when things happened, they were identified and they were corrected. We didn't wait until after the event to say, this is what's happening. We tried to make sure that we went to plan B if plan A was not working. We also had additional resources that were needed that we had to bring out there and get on. And it was, again, problematic because LSU was having their football game, and we had to make sure the folks were credentialed that were going on campus. We did have a staff that was not totally familiar with IC structure. You know, we can talk about that from here until there. Folks go online and they take 100, 200. They can go online and take 700 and 800. But until you start putting that into practice, you will always have problems. And that's what we found, because prerequisite, everyone in our state, you got to have it. If you're going to be responding, you have to have taken those classes. But how well can you operationalize it is the key. So what we did was we went back to the team came back over to the EOC and got the just-in-time training manuals that we had put together. And again, they received the just-in-time training on site. Because DSS, who was responsible for patient tracking, was not there, we had to end up with a paper system and then later plug them into the computer to track where these folks were going. External staff, other than individuals that worked for us, again, did not follow protocol, did not do what they should have in regards to signing in and making sure that everyone knew who was there and what the expectations were. It's difficult planning if you don't know who's there, who you don't have. So going to each of the section chiefs, reminding them, giving them a checklist to make sure that at each shift change they knew to brief and to make sure these folks were accounted for and that we had enough meals to go around. How do we make sure that once the buses were checked and the folks were triaged, we had bus drivers in from all over the country. So for them to get to from here to there was, again, problematic. Not having the transportation, the communications, the 700, 800 megahertz radios for them was problematic. So they had to use their personal cell phones. Here again, making sure that they had directions on where they were going to go. So we had, that was something we didn't think about ahead of time. So we had one person assigned to printing out maps, literally doing Google, Earth Google, and printing out maps from the bus triage to the different shelter sites, and then making sure that communications on our end were very clear because we didn't want to send them up to a shelter that may be full if they needed to continue on up north. So that was another big lesson learned for us. And really notifying that shelter that we're sending a bus load of 45 folks your way and the expected time of arrival. So coordination was very, very important. And that was one of the big things we had to get in place. The buses also came to us with no snacks and no water. Now, that was not part of the plans. You know, as we learned lessons from Katrina and Rita, that was a biggie. So the plans involved placing water and snacks on those buses. But we did receive buses on our end that did not have that. And so if these folks were going to be making another 8-hour trip, then they needed to have that. So we had to immediately get with the State Operations Center and get MREs and water to put on the bus so that they could travel that extended distance. And also some of the bus drivers were totally exhausted. They had deployed in, they had driven in, but they didn't have that downtime, so that did not, that put a break in the system, so they had to make sure they got 8 hours before they can move or continue to travel. So that's bus triage, quick, dirty, and in a hurry.